Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And once again, a Premier League football team get in there tonight to celebrate in a Foss Arms festooned in blue and white banners. Is Killer, good evening.
Sorry guys, just slightly late because I was just inhaling the sweet smell of success.
Nearly restarted the show there, Killer.
normally Norm and I are inhaling the little bits of salt on the bottom of the port rind packet, but today it's success. So Tim, good evening.
Good evening. And Norm, good evening. Let's raise a Trump Wells to the championship.
Absolutely. It's absolutely marvellous, isn't it? Thoroughly loved the watching Killer inhaling the smell of success. Marvellous. The smell of success is almost as nice as the smell of Trump Wells IPA.
It's a very troubling image. So yeah, lots of good humour tonight, folks, as you would expect in the Foss Arms. It's been a long time since our last show, and apologies for this show running slightly late. We had the Ipswich match last night, which we thought we'd take in, and we've been celebrating, as I'm sure all of you have. Fantastic week for the club. And it seems a while ago, Killer, but we absolutely thumped Southampton, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being the person, Norm, who predicted that we would lose?
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Hey, but look,
it's taken a full minute.
Doesn't matter, Tim. And to be honest, I suspect plenty of listeners shared your slight pessimism with regards to a result. But you know, if ever there was a football club that needed a performance and needed a result, it was Leicester City. There's no doubt about it. We didn't go in there in great nick, albeit I thought the home form was always going to be good. And what a time to put on an absolute five-star, five-goal, stellar performance. At times, I thought we were brilliant. I don't know about you guys, and I don't necessarily have a huge fan of stats, but it was almost a little bit of a taster of the 2015-2016 season, wasn't it? Where we didn't have the ball for the majority of the game. I think we had it for less than 40%. And we were absolutely brilliant when we did have it. So it was a performance that we needed. It was a Leicester City team that hadn't been at the party for a while and royally rejoined the party. And quite frankly, after that result, there was no doubt of two things. One, that we were going to go up. Two, we were going to win the championship. I didn't necessarily think we'd be lucky enough to do those things in the order that we did them. And we'll get in, obviously, to Leeds's quite hilarious capitulation at QPR, which obviously now has effectively condemned them to an almost certain nervy playoff place. And they're going in that, by the way, with absolutely zero form. But the only reason I say that is because there's so many mouthy Leeds United fans on social media. Apologies if you're a Leeds United fan and you're listening to this and you're a good guy. We've obviously had a very good Leeds United fan on, but there's a lot of bad mouthing on the social media. So sorry, I've got no time for the demise of Leeds United. It looks like it's us and Ipswich. Fair play. But as far as we're concerned and this show's concerned, Tim, we're back. The performance was absolutely brilliant. And I suppose the one thing you're left thinking about is just how easy would it have been if we'd had a certain Jamie Vardy available and or pit for every game that we played this season.
We're going to come on to Vardy, Killer, particularly with regards to what happened at Preston. But I just, because it's been a while, and I'm conscious we are going back a few days, but Matt, before the Preston game, has sent us a really good email. I do think it's still got relevance because it's got points about going forward. He said, after the Saints game, first time I've thoroughly enjoyed a City game for a while. Scoreline, yes, was great, but the enjoyment was the huge shift in the style of play. Made a difference after 10 minutes, playing with real intent and the shackles seemingly off. And he goes on to say he's not too obsessed with the tippy-tappy possession that we have been doing. But he does say, Norm, it gives us hope for next year if Enzo can see the light in a mixed variety of play, have a core style of play, but there may be an option B after all. Thank you for that, Matt. That's a really well put together note. Norm, I'm guessing you're going to agree with that.
I couldn't agree more. I think the Southampton game is everything that I've been hoping and knew how we could play like that. And you know, watching the game, I was actually amazed that we had only had something like 33-34% possession, because it didn't feel like that. It did feel like we were still kind of controlling the ball when we had it, but we're just a little bit more direct, quicker, more intent on getting the ball forward, more, you know, bit more direct, and just really up for it. And I just think it was that I think it was only a small shift. I mean, obviously the possession stats are skewed by Southampton play like we do, but the fact that how we press them was just incredible. And even when we were 5-0 up, we were still pressing them. I mean, it was just a performance that we've been waiting for such a long time. But yeah, it was spot on, and I think it absolutely does give us food for thought for next year, because you know, teams that aren't going to set up in low blocks against us in the Premier League, I think we can pass the ball really nicely when we want to. And like I say, I watched the game and I couldn't believe that we'd had so little possession, but it was just like Killers alluded to, what we did when we had the ball. It was, you know, quick passing, you know, great runs, wonderful goals. It was all just, it all just came to fruition at the right time. And I think for me, like I agree with Killer. I think we were only ever good. I always thought we were going to win the championship anyway. But what it's shown is, I think when teams get close to that prize, that the pressure's on. You know, it's all right when you're 17 points behind Leeds and you're chasing and you've actually got nothing to lose in all the game. Just go for it. Suddenly, when the chips are down, you lost your bottle, didn't you? And it's we had a little patch, but when it's mattered, we've just stormed it again, and it's magnificent.
Yeah. And then, as Killer said, I mean, the Friday night, I did see that. I mean, I've been to Loftus Road a few times. In fact, Killer, I don't know if you know this, Norm, I've scored at Loftus Road. Did you know that?
I did know
that. I have scored a goal at Loftus Road. Mate of mine worked for the council and they get dished out one of the grounds each year as a bit of a thank you for keeping them sweet. Scored, came on as a sub, scored a header. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for Loftus Road. But I did think, look, Leeds, that's going to be a nasty little game with QPR still got something to ride on it, as Blackburn have this weekend, by the way. But none of us saw that coming, did we? I literally jumped up in the restaurant, both hands in the air, completely embarrassed myself. Then said, right, got to get a bottle of champagne. Called the waitress over. She brought over the champagne menu. Saw the prices. Went, skulked off, had a quiet word with her. I said, have you got any pomade or brut? can we keep this between us? Anyway, still bought that. And it was just brilliant, wasn't it? Because then it just took the pressure off for Preston, didn't it, Killer? Brilliant.
Yeah, it was a complete, total capitulation. I was playing golf in the afternoon, and a mate of mine who's sort of like a bit indifferent about football made one of those requests of, you know, who's playing who and stuff. And I said, you know, Leeds away at QPR. And he went, all right, well, they'll beat them, won't they? I said, well, the thing is, this is the championship. And QPR have got something to play for. And as we've found out with QPR, they can be a tricky little team. Didn't see that coming. I don't know if you saw the game in any detail, but it was 2-0 at half-time, but it's actually pretty even. And then Leeds came out second half and missed a couple of absolute sitters. And it was one of those where I thought, if they score, this could be very, very, very different. And then QPR just went up, probably slightly against the run of play, scored the third, and Leeds looked absolutely shell-shocked, broken. And I tell you what, Farker's got a job on his hands now because he's going to have to pick them up. I mean, you can't see Ipswich not getting a point against Huddersfield. Farker's going to need to pick them up quickly for the playoffs. Otherwise, it's going to be another year in the championship for them. And you get the feeling that they're not far behind us. in terms of the financial implications of that. So, yeah, I mean, but it was brilliant. And I don't know about you guys, it felt a little bit, again, like the Chelsea Spurs game. You know, when you thought to yourself, when you thought to yourself, we're asking a team to do a favour, but actually, Spurs have got it all to play for. And it felt a little bit like that. It just felt like a great favour on the evening. And look, it's absolutely brilliant to be back. We'll talk about the Preston game in a minute, but you know, the scenes, and it's suddenly it just felt like the negativity that's been around the club, and there's been a lot, let's be honest, haven't there, with the financial stuff, with Enzo, with the style of play, with some of the quite dreadful away defeats that we've had. There's been a lot of negativity. It just feels like everything's been lifted. And it just got that feeling again of the 2015-2016 season of, you know, we're champions again, aren't we?
Champions again, as the song goes.
As the song goes.
Norm and I were lucky enough to be sitting, or I say standing, in the away end at Preston with 5,700 Foxes, and I reckon the club probably could have sold that twice over. The only downside was being taunted for the entire game by their serious hooligan mob, average age 12 and a half, much to the amusement of all the Leicester fans in the left up part of that stand. But it was a great experience, Norm, wasn't it? And I think, as Killer said, the game was like a testimonial, wasn't it? But a straightforward win. But you know, it put the feel-good factor firmly back into the club ahead of the game at the weekend against Blackburn.
Absolutely. And I think before we touch on the game, I think the highlights for me were cheering the stewards trying to remove flares from the ground and like tapping it with his foot prior to popping it in his bucket of sand.
To the tune of "You Don't Know What You're Doing."
Yeah, absolutely. Watching stewards stroll past with blow up dolls.
Great repertoire of songs. I love the fact that the Leicester fans dipped into all the archives and were doing songs about the old players and
brilliant stuff.
Which, to be honest, I just don't think sometimes we do enough of. I know the away support's always good, but I just think that it's a very Man United thing to do. And I mean that in a positive way. Do you know what I mean? I love it. And I just love the fact that there's a real, it felt to me, guys, it was almost like we're going back, but actually let's never forget the people that have been involved in the last 10 years. We've got, there's only one Nigel Pearson. There's an Andy King song in there.
Leonardo, Lloyd Dyer.
Brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah, Lord Dyer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a really nice way of looking at it. It's bringing back, you know, what we've been through over the last 20 odd years. I mean, think the times in the Championship going down to Division One. You know, in the last 15 years, it's a Division One title, two Championship titles, FA Cup, Charity Shield, Premier League. It's just, I mean, but we do remember, certainly fans our age, I'm not being patronising to you, any younger fans listening, but, you know, we've seen a lot of bad, but the bad and the challenges make the good just even better. And that's why football's the best sport in the world, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely magic. Here's a quick question for you guys, because I got a text message from a Spurs fan, of all people, and he turned round and said, apart from the obvious big clubs, Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, is there actually, over the course of the last 10, 15 years, been a better team to support than Leicester City in terms of highlights?
No.
I don't think there is.
The answer's no, isn't it?
No. But not even close, though, is it? I mean, if you think about West Ham, what's the highlight? A European night. Aston Villa, what's the highlight? There isn't one. I mean, they might finish fourth this year. Newcastle United, what's the highlight? Champions League. Well, yeah, but then they got dumped out the group stages. Leicester City, what's the highlight? 5,001 Premier League winners, FA Cup winners. Like Norm said, we're two seasons where we could get 100 points or more in the Championship. Last team in the Champions League. We had a semi-final European run. There's absolutely stacks of it, isn't there? It's never a dull moment.
No. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Because I think it's, you know, and I think the nice thing at the moment, supporting Leicester, I'll say at the moment being the last 10 years, we seem to have happy endings. You know, it always used to be, you know, a slight tale of woe, usually ending up back in the Championship and then being stuck in there for a few years. This time, it just feels like the boot's slightly on the other foot. And let's be quite honest, that, you know, the last 18 months have been difficult, haven't they? But it's had a happy ending again. Who knows what the future holds? But, you know, whatever happens financially and all the rest of it, we needed this to get ourselves back on the footing, both in terms of status, but also in terms of money. And I think this puts us back, you know, it gives us a fighting chance again as a club. I think if we'd stayed down this year, I think we said, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, you're looking probably at bottom half Championship next 2 or 3 years whilst the finances get sorted and everyone leaves. That's how important this promotion is.
We'd have got the transfer embargo, wouldn't we? I mean, it was almost like the EFL were absolutely loading their gun. It was like, just to let you know, if you stay, you're a dead man walking.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's
you know,
how it felt to me anyway.
The most that any team has won the Championship, as is well reported now, eight times. But for that reason, Killer, maybe the most important one. Norm, you mentioned your favourite bit. I quite enjoyed it. And look, I'm a little bit conflicted. We've got our friend Mark on here. But Killer's quite right what he said, Norm. There's been a lot of, you know, Leeds-Leicester banter, should we call it. And I hadn't quite appreciated it. It all came from this comment that Rutter made after the Leeds game when the Leeds fans were singing, "I predict a riot." And he was doing an interview at the time saying, "Well, we are the best team, aren't we? I think we're the best team." And KDH had obviously stored that one in the memory bank because he put out a great tweet, didn't he, after the Southampton game, I think it was. And then, Norm, after the Preston game, amongst about an hour of the players being on the pitch with the fans, was Leicester's new version of that, which is, "I predict the playoffs."
Yeah, it is. Look, it was all good, wasn't it? I mean, this is it. Look, we've won the Championship, and everything that's sung and said was brilliant because of that, wasn't it? There was wit, there was humour. It was just an absolute carnival atmosphere, as you'd expect from a team that's done so, you know, so well this season. But it's always nice when a team's just got a little bit ahead of themselves to then turn it back on them, and it reminds me of like
Spurs, wasn't it?
Yeah, like
Harry Kane. That's what you're going to say,
yeah, absolutely. Harry Kane with the lion. We're coming for you. We're coming for you.
Yeah,
and then just sort of going back with it. You know, it's just brilliant.
Who finished third in a two-horse race?
Yeah. Well, that's it. And also Spurs, even this season, I noticed that I noticed that time this week, someone had put up that the Spurs were even still thinking about us because they'd said something like that. Who finished third in a one-horse race and they showed a picture of us when we were in third place in the league. So even after all these years,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but that's why football's brilliant. It's about banter. It's about having not getting annoyed by teams. I've never had anything against Leeds. I think they're a great football club, but I think when they do things like that, it annoys me. And therefore, I'm absolutely delighted that they're likely to be in the playoffs and probably not going up. Just for that one little thing. I mean, I'm not that I'm easily offended, listeners. Birmingham, I'm really pleased that they're probably going to go down because of the way, and I said this as soon as they got rid of Eustace. You listen to past episodes, listeners. I've said it. I mean, brilliant. What a season. Serves them right. You know, because people that don't know about football come into a football club and think they know about football. Football shouldn't be messed with. This is why we're not being negative today, but VAR, don't mess with it. Don't mess with football. Just leave it as it is and let's all enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Did you see the brilliant meme that was knocking around social media saying the only thing that can stop Manchester City winning the league next season? And it's a picture of Harry Kane wearing a Man City top.
That's a very useful link in, Killer, because I wanted to come on and talk about the legend with his two more goals against Preston. We just can't talk about him enough. But as a little link into that, I shamelessly stole this from a radio show I heard this week. There was a really interesting, it really made me think, actually, and I asked you to put a non-biased hat on, Killer, to answer this. Kane v Vardy, who's had the best career?
Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, that is, that's really interesting. Look, at the minute, I mean, obviously, the difference is Vardy's career is obviously coming to an end. You would imagine, hopefully we'll get one more season. We'll talk about that. Kane's isn't, so there is still a chance that Harry Kane might win the Champions League. But right here, right now, in turn, look, if you just looked at it statistically in terms of silverware, it's Jamie Vardy. The Jamie Vardy story's better, isn't it? Because it's that kind of rags to riches whereby Kane's not so much. So, yeah, I'm inclined to say Jamie Vardy. I don't really want, and again, I'm going to be completely unbiased here. I don't want to ever take anything away from Harry Kane. I like him. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant footballer. I also happen to think he's a good man. I happen to think he's an excellent England captain as well. So, yeah, Vardy's career from that point of view. But if you were asking me overall who's the better player, I would just go for Harry Kane.
What about you, Noel? Better career? I'll put a slightly different thing. Even if Kane wins the Champions League, not who's the better player, who's had the better career?
Well, I'd go for Vardy purely because of the number of wins. His part, you know, partly like Killer said, like the story of it, all the if you just take ability out of it, everything about Vardy's journey means his career is better, because at the age of 25, 26, he probably wouldn't have ever thought he was going to have a career, you know, other than working him, you know, playing for Stockbridge Park Steels and things like this. So I think his career is better, but I'm with Killer, you know, Kane's brilliant. And has just been, you know, unlucky or has been too loyal by staying at Spurs for too long, and then this season turning up at Bayern Munich when there's a season where obviously his one curse season.
Yeah. You've got to feel sorry for the guy. I've got a quick question for you guys, by the way, because we're in danger of missing this point, and I think it's relevant. There's been a lot made about this players' meeting, Tim, after the last defeat, and it sounds like it was instigated by Jamie Vardy. Apparently, he got it cleared by the club, so there was nothing untoward about it. Out of interest, what do you think was discussed at that meeting?
You know what? It's funny. I wanted to talk about this next week because I do think that meeting was really important. I've no idea. I mean, I'm guessing it was just, come on, lads, we're better than this. But I thought the fact that the meeting itself happened, and let's be honest, at that point, that was just before West Brom, that meeting, Killer. Is that right?
Yeah.
We were in meltdown, weren't we? It looked like it had gone horribly wrong. So, can we park part of it for next week? But to answer your question, I'm sure it was just along the lines of, we have to do better.
I think there was more to it. I honestly think there was more to it than that. But like you say, happy to park it if you'd like. But I don't think it was a rah-rah high-five meeting. I think there was a bit more to it. I'll leave it there for the time being.
Yeah, let's chat about that next week, because I do think it's a very I think it was a very relevant meeting, actually. You know, we'd have three losses on the bounce against relegation fodder, haven't we, without scoring. And that's, yeah. You know, that's this turnaround. I mean, it could have been Leeds having this position, or Ipswich, you know, in this position, and us have gone the other way. So it does seem that a lot came out of that. But yeah, we'll see. We will come back to it. Norm had another great email in. There's a couple of other emails, guys, I know that you've sent in that we are going to get to next week, that we're going to talk next week about the summer and finance of the club and that sort of stuff. We just wanted to keep things right in the moment this week. We had a great one in from Chris, Norm. He said, just a quick one. I've picked myself up the floor. I'm now sitting in a state of shock. No, not the fact that we somehow got over the line. It's something much more shocking. My wife has just shown me an Instagram post of our own JV, Jamie Vardy, not at KDH's party knocking back the WKDs. No, he's FaceTiming, Dennis Wise, ! I don't know if you guys have seen this. Now, we always say we can forgive Vardy anything, but can we forgive him seemingly being close mates with that ! I'm feeling a little bit numb. He says something else, but what's your reaction to that? No, but have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but if he's FaceTiming him, I suspect he's just, you know, FaceTiming him to be let's just leave it at he's FaceTiming him to be rude to Wise and unpleasant to him, and then we can just brush it under the carpet and we don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, apparently quite close mates, bizarrely. He goes on.
Apparently he's a good guy though, isn't he? I've heard somebody that was working at Chelsea Football Club when Dennis Wise was there, and apparently Dennis Wise was one of these guys that had all loads of time for apprentices. And each year he used to voluntarily sponsor an apprentice. And apparently he would take that apprentice to one side, give him one-to-one coaching, give him some extra cash towards buying stuff that he needed for his development and stuff. And everybody said he's actually a really, really good guy. Of course, our view of Dennis Wise is shrouded by the fact that he smashed Callum Davidson in the face, which seems a very unpleasant
while he
thing
was asleep, wasn't it?
Whilst he was asleep, seems like an unpleasant thing to do. And generally speaking, when he was at Leicester, he was absolutely crap. And somehow, well, I say somehow, technically speaking, he is probably, to my knowledge, the only player in the history of the world that's ever been sacked by a football club just so we could get out of paying his contract. Quite incredible, really. But there you go.
Yeah, his performances for us were absolutely shocking. But that's like long in the past. Yeah. Just Chris. So, questions about Enzo and next season from the latest podcast. As you said, it's all irrelevant because unless he leaves, he isn't getting the sack. But for what it's worth, this is quite an interesting perspective, actually. Maybe one for next week as well. I reckon the star will be all right in the Premier League. No one will sit back against us. So I foresee some absolute spankings. But crucially, turning enough teams over who underestimate us, who are nearer our level. But we'll see. So, yeah, thanks for that note, Chris. Next week, folks, will be our last show. We've got a couple of other emails for that. But if you want to get in touch with us, last chance this season, it's leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. Have your say on the wonderful Foxes. But, Killer, just to finish off on Vardy, obviously two brilliant goals had to be him. He had a great chance to make it three, didn't he, against Preston? What about the contract situation? Again, at the risk of going ahead, but I just do want to talk about him. He has definitely said he wants to be playing football next season. That's the one thing he has said.
Yeah. Look. I think what we've demonstrated with Jamie Vardy, and again, if you think about the fact that he showed the leadership skills to get the team together, to get them talking and stuff, but not only that, that thereafter actually put a couple of really good performances in himself, and he showed his class at the same time. But look, he scored a couple of goals, make no mistake about it. I still don't think he's anywhere near back to his sharpness. But I still think, looking at him, he's as fit as a butcher's dog. I don't think we've got any reason at all to think we can't get 20, 25 games out of him in the Prem next season. It's not as brutal as workload as it is as with regards to the Championship because there's fewer games. As far as I'm concerned, no-brainer, offer him a contract. What it will look like, it's going to be reduced. I would probably offer him something that looked a little bit like 40, 50 grand a week, and then I would give him 25, 30 grand a game, let's say. I might then obviously lob in win bonuses, goal scoring bonuses and stuff, and it's almost a come and get it. And I suspect from Jamie Vardy's point of view, even though there might be more money to be had elsewhere, let's be honest, he's, and one of the reasons he's a goat at Leicester is because he declined a huge contract at Arsenal, which far exceeded what we were offering at the time. So from that point of view, I say lay down the contract. I think he'll sign it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, Norm and I were talking about what the right amount of money would be, and of course the problem is we just don't know how bigger financial hole we're in, whether some of that financial hole goes away because of the being in the Premier League again now, or whether, you know, whether it doesn't. So it's very hard to say. The one thing I'd say, Norm, I know some Leicester fans, I don't see a decline in Jamie Vardy. I just don't see it. If there's a 2-year contract, I've got no problem at all with that. I think Killer makes a very good point about the workload. He's not going to play We've just seen in the... I think one of my issues this season has been, I think he's been massively underused. I think you could have used him a lot more, and you won't need to use him more in the Premier League.
No, look, I think, well, on being underused, he's scored this season in the league, he's averaging a goal every 94 minutes.
Yeah, I think that was before Preston won it, even.
No, no, it was 100, before Preston, it was a bit more than that. It's every 94 minutes. Now, that's absolutely incredible in any league, and is way better than anybody else. And Smolik is a goal every 153 minutes, something like that, wow, which is still pretty decent. You know, let's be clear, if you're scoring a goal every couple of games, it's pretty impressive. So to be scoring technically almost a goal per game is absolutely amazing. I think, of course, he can still do a job for us, whether it's, you know, he's not going to start every game in the Premier League.
No.
And I don't think he could manage that, but he's absolutely got a role to play. With regards to the finance side, and like I said, we have discussed this, Tim, but it's a no-brainer, because what you've got to consider is, okay, he's on a really big contract. If we were to remove that contract completely, we are still not going to get a player that's anywhere near the standard of Jamie Vardy for what we're paying him now. If we're paying him $7.5 million a year now, we're not going to get a replacement. We're going to have to buy someone, you know, that's going to cost significantly more than $7.5 million. So with regards to his contract, I think it's going to wipe its face, whatever we offer him. And I would personally make an app, you know, and I think the club probably will. With regards to him, he will be treated very differently to Vestergaard and Ndidi. You know, both have been superb for us this year in general, or Ndidi throughout his career. But Vardy is the GOAT at Leicester, as far as I'm concerned. And I think with that in mind, he will get a decent contract. And that can be justified by the fact that we can't replace him. So, you know, if we've got any ideas of trying to stay up with what, when we do probably get a points deduction, and let's not talk about the negative stuff, but we need goal scorers, and he is one of those, and he will score goals. End of story.
And it's just worth thinking, Killer, isn't it? Let's say he did leave. I hope this doesn't sound, I mean, we might have a neutral fan listening to this thinking this is a ridiculous statement. I think he'd absolutely go to Arsenal tomorrow. He'd sit on the bench at Arsenal. But Arsenal, if he was there right now, he'd be their best striker, wouldn't he? And I'm sure Arsenal are going to go and sign a 150 million striker as well. But if you're an Arsenal fan, you'd take Jamie Vardy to sit on your bench tomorrow, wouldn't you?
I think you probably would. Now, whether they as a football club, he fits their profile, I don't know. And Arsenal, obviously, to be fair to them, they're making some good signs. But you're right with the essence of what you're talking about. The worry is that we turn around and said, no, we couldn't agree a contract. Make no mistake about it, there is a football club 30 miles away from here who obviously likes nothing more than buying everybody else's unwanted players. And I suspect a Prem team will come in. You can think about Forest, you can think about Brentford, you can think about Palace. They would snap him up. And as Norm said, it would be absolutely mindlessly ridiculous. Even more ridiculous if we weren't able to get rid of Patson Daka. And he carries on on our wage bill at 70, 80 grand a week, whatever he's on. Absolutely mindlessly ridiculous. And to be fair to Leicester, we generally don't make loads of bad decisions when it comes to this sort of thing. So, fingers crossed, hopefully common sense will prevail.
I mean, and on this, I mean, listening to old Jeff Stelling on TalkSport yesterday with Ali McCoy and Darren Bent, he posed a question about Vardy. It was actually really interesting to listen to. He said, is Jamie Vardy one of the top 10 all-time Premier League strikers? And both Ali McCoy and Darren Bent said yes. You know, he said, partly because of his story, but, you know, where he's come from, he said, Ali McCoy was talking about him and Ian Wright, you know, the respect, the desire, how they never stop, the number of goals Vardy scored in his 30s in the Premier League. I mean, he scored the most goals in the Premier League for an over 30s guy. He said he's been an absolute legend of, you know, both with his attitude, his goal scoring, and, you know, his loyalty to Leicester, just everything. So, we are talking about not just one of the greatest of all time for Leicester, one of the greatest of all time in the Premier League era. And so many clubs would have... He could have played for anyone. But like you've alluded to, Tim, he pushed Arsenal aside, stayed with us. And we've got to keep him. We've got to do everything we can, within reason, to keep him.
11th highest English Premier League scorer of all time as well, which it's just, you know, again, you know, a lot of, all these other guys have played for really bigger clubs than Leicester City. That's the thing, isn't it? It's an extraordinary record. Killer, just before we come on to look at the last game of the season, looking at that more generally for the league table, you don't see any surprises, do you, in terms of Ipswich stumbling or the playoff positions changing?
No, not really. It looks like it's a done deal, doesn't it? So you would imagine Ipswich will get that point. I'd imagine they'll beat Huddersfield on Saturday. So you'd imagine it's Ipswich up. I actually think that's good news for us because I do think Ipswich will almost find their level. And they're going to need some massive changes in that squad to be able to cope with the Premier League. So I do think there'll be at least one worse team than us, even given our inevitable points deduction. And fair play to Ipswich. I think it's a great story. And that they've done that without any arrogance, any swagger, unlike Leeds United. So I think that's done. And it looks like the playoff places are just pretty much cemented. Much more interest in the Championship right down at the bottom where anything can happen, I think, Tim.
Yeah, including Blackburn, Norm. Silly. Just to get your view, Norm, West Brom have got Preston at home. I imagine, given the display we saw from Preston, the definition of being on the beach, they should get what they need from their 2 points clear of Hull at the moment. It'd be quite a nice story for Hull. I think Rossini's done an absolutely brilliant job at Hull, but they've got goal difference against them as well, so that they'd have to win while West Brom lost.
Yeah.
It's hard to see that happening, isn't it? They're away at Plymouth, so they probably get the job done there. But
It's hard to say, but it could happen. I mean, but Plymouth are still fighting, and I think so that makes it even harder for Hull. It's not like Plymouth have got nothing to play for. I mean, obviously Huddersfield, barring a 30-goal victory at Ipswich, is kind of game over. The only change I could possibly foresee realistically at the bottom, and I don't think it'll be Blackburn, it'd be more likely that Birmingham and Plymouth could swap places. I think Birmingham would have to win to probably overtake or have a chance of overtaking Plymouth. But I think that it's likely that both the playoffs and the relegation positions will probably remain as they are now.
So, Killer, Birmingham have got Norwich at home and Plymouth have got Hull at home. So they're both quite fair games, aren't they? There's just a point in it, but Birmingham's goal difference is four worse as well.
Mm, yeah, and as Norm said, you know, nothing against Birmingham. I know lots of Birmingham City fans, but they just became the club that everybody wanted relegated when they sacked Eustace and just made that completely ridiculous managerial decision. So, I've got to say, I think my money would be on Birmingham. And certainly in terms of my feelings, I would like to see them go down as well.
So then, Norm, Blackburn, not really worth previewing the game. You can just chill out, relax, enjoy the party.
We've got 100 points to get.
True. Yeah, how big a deal is that, Norm? Is that a big deal? Do you think that'll be on the players' minds?
It's only happened six times in the Championship era, hasn't it? So there's only six teams that have done it. It'd be nice for us to have done it twice. I think it is a big deal. Look, the great news is, whatever happens on Saturday, the reality is we're champions. That's all that we'll remember in 5 years' time. It won't be how many points we've got. We've not broken records. It is what it is. That's the main thing. But we're going to get presented with the trophy. I think that's going to be after the game. You know, I want it to be a carnival of football, and I think that's what it will be. I think the players will be relaxed. I think they'll be wanting to get the 100 points. I think getting 100 points is a big deal. They'll be wanting to play well because it's not fair if they don't turn up when Blackburn still have a chance of going down. So for the integrity of the league, it'll be everything. So I think it'll be much like the Preston game. It just didn't feel like the game in general was play. Like you say, it was a bit more like a pre-season friendly, wasn't it? So I think there will be an element about that from our point of view, but I think that will work for us. And again, the fact that Blackburn have got to come and think about trying to get something will probably mean that playing in a relaxed way, the way we do play, will probably tear them apart. So, it's just going to be a really nice day, isn't it? You know, it's going to be carnival atmosphere. It's going to be fun. Going to get the trophy. just it's just going to be magic, and I think that will rub off on, and the atmosphere will rub off on the players. So I'm not too worried about them, you know, having a, you know, remember when we went up and then played Brighton and lost 4-1 with the Joa scoring a couple of goals. I don't see it being like that. You know, I think that they'll be professional and do well.
Although Blackburn Killer, you know, this is a serious game for them, isn't it? I mean, you know, teams tend to get what they need. I haven't got anything to back this up, but when teams are fighting for their lives, they do put that extra 10% in. Blackburn are going to have to assume the teams below them are going to win, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I just think this Leicester City team will be absolutely up for it, mate. I mean, the two performances in the last two games have been absolute class. I mean, to think, I know you talk about Preston being on the beach, but I don't think they're on the beach by choice. We just absolutely outclassed them, top to bottom. We played, again, I don't want to get negative, but we really, I think, in the last two games, played the type of football that I think we are more than capable of doing. We should have done it more often, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, there we are. I think this Leicester City team will go into that game very determined. They will want the 100 points. And as my prediction will illustrate, we will get it.
Right, well, let's come on to the predictor, but not before give some props, as the kids say, to Norm. Hey, when the show you missed, Killer, when we did our predictions for the rest of the season, Norm spoilt it, let's be quite honest, by just saying we're going to win every single game. Whereas I put a bit more science in it, saying, no, I think we're going to probably lose to Saints, draw with Preston. Well, guess who's been proven right? So Norm ridiculously might have that right by predicting every single game as a win and getting us to the 100 points. So that would be brilliant if he did. But the leader on the predictor going into the final day is Killer. So Killer's got 46 points from me with 45. Norm can't win it anymore on 42. I got Saints wrong. You two got Saints right. Norm then predicted the Preston result exactly. Killer, you predicted a win and I predicted a draw. So as I said, Norm's on 42. Me on 45. Killer looking for his first predictor ever. Killer, I don't want to say the pressure's on, but you know, last game of the season, the pressure is on you. What is your prediction?
Hold on.
I think it's going to be a similar.
Hold on, we've got Stato coming in.
I think that the honourable thing, Tim, would be allow Killer the opportunity to absolutely win it anyway. So therefore, you should predict first, so Killer can say exactly the same as you. That's guaranteeing victory.
Well, that's the very reason I haven't known.
Well, I wouldn't play that game anyway. I think it's going to be a similar performance to when we beat Everton and lifted the Premier League title, and I'm going to go with exactly the same result. 3-1 Leicester.
3-1. Okay. I mean, I'm going to go. I probably ought to go for a different result to try and get. There's no way I'm predicting against Leicester. I'm going 4-0. What about you, Norm?
I am going to really, really, really push it out. I'm going for 6-1. And if I get this spot on, then I automatically win the predictor title.
Yeah, you can have it, mate.
We'll give it. Are we giving it him, Killer? If he gets 6-1 right,
after, yeah,
we've done a whole season of.
I've never had it, Tim. I don't know what it even tastes like. So we can have it.
Yeah, you get a massive trophy. It's fantastic. It's sponsored by someone in Saudi Arabia or something. I think it is. Right then, guys. Brilliant, brilliant week for the club. Final thoughts, Killer.
I've got a little song. I've got a little song. Ooh. As a final thought. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Yes.
Champions and Trumpwell's IPA. Champions and Trumpwell's IPA. Champions again. Champions again. Champions and Trumpwell's IPA.
But that more than makes up for you missing the Christmas song special this year, I have to say. Well, I wonder if we can get that going in the stadium instead of the Fasterwoo one's changed the lyrics, hasn't it? I'm sure we can change the lyric to that one. Norm, what about you? Final thoughts?
Don't give up your day job, Killer.
Yeah.
Wait, I've done actually.
Final thoughts. Look, we've got what we deserve this year. It's been, the championship has been brilliant. I have actually thoroughly enjoyed it. No VAR. It's been great. We're lucky enough that we've got out. We should have got out. We did get out. Yeah, we've had some ups and downs along the way, but ultimately we're back where we belong, and let's embrace that and look forward to what will be an exciting but challenging season next year.
The longest final thought has ever been, but highly appropriate for this show, I'd say. last show next week, guys. Do join us at the normal time. We'll be back on our normal schedule. We're all off to check that we didn't throw away those Premier League arm patches. Catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.